I was asking him things about theirs up there, and he said, well, he said, well, I got to confess to you, you know, if a ball game's on, I'll watch it while I'm running the sound booth and all of that, you know. And I told him, I said, that's terrible. I said, you got to stop that. I said, you're working in ministry, you know. And he wasn't taking it as I was getting on to him, you know. Although, you know, I said, you got to honor God's house where the anointing comes in there. Everybody, so that's what you did. You honored the Lord. And, you know, I'm not anti-cell phone. People, some's got their Bibles on there and all of that. But how many know Satan will call you right in the middle of service? You know, he'll get you a text and all of it. So I want to thank all of you. I want to thank all of you. Mine's not in the house of God ever. I've never had my cell phone in the house of God. If they want to get in touch with me, they know it'll be 12:30 at least before I get out. And if they need something that bad, call on Jesus. Because I probably can't get over there quick enough to help you anyways. Hallelujah. Turn it on, Rabbit. Good Lord, don't miss all this. And I want to thank all of you that's been faithful to this ministry. I thought about it this morning, and you think God's not going to honor you, you are mistaken big time. Because what I'm doing, me and Teresa are doing, is only simply the will of God. God told us to come here 24 years ago. And has it been a ride? Yes, it's been a ride. But I want to thank you, because just as they held up the hands of Moses and they were winning victories in the Old Testament, that's a type of holding up your leadership and backing them and being there and being faithful. And it takes a lot of sacrifices in your life. But believing God is one of the greatest things you can do. You believe God to do the will of God. When you find the will of God, I'm off of me now. I want to thank every one of you. The sacrifices that you've made. Let me tell you this. Your sacrifices that you make for Jesus, anytime you make them, will never outweigh the rewards that you get from the Lord. You hear what I'm telling you? Whether it's church, church ought to be the most important thing after you get born again in your life other than Jesus Christ. Because that is Him. He comes. I put it on Facebook this morning. I don't try to fill this house. I want it full, and I believe it. And I've been waiting 24 years, and it's going to happen. You know, but I put it on Facebook this morning. I said, life has its way of giving you all hopelessness and fear, and it has a way. I said, what I was thinking when I wrote that is I thought, if I can get them into the house of God, get them into the presence of Jesus Christ and the anointed and the Holy Spirit, their lives will never be the same. And so I put on there, I said, you're only one service away. Oh, children's church dismissed. Y'all gonna stay out or what? Man, I'm on my game this morning. I'm not concerned about it. Them kids can understand it. You tell them no, they're like, why? They're ready, boy. Let them go. Get them back there. Let them have some fun. Hallelujah. But your sacrifices for the Lord will never outweigh the rewards that God brings into your life. Hallelujah. Finding the will of God is the most important thing a believer after they're born again. I was talking to a preacher the other day. He said, yeah, my boy, he told him he'd fill in and blah, blah, blah. And I told him, I said, well, I said, the most important thing, this seems to be kind of alien out there in the Christian realm, what I'm fixing to say. I said, well, the most important thing is, what is God saying for your son? Is he telling him to go preach, or they just got a need, or all of that? I said, those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I said, we must, as Christians, the most important thing we can do in our life is learn to be led by God's Holy Spirit. In our marriages, God's Word is the foundation of what the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You get in that Word like Monty, if you miss Sunday school, go listen to it. You know, go listen to it because it's one of the best sermons. He's preached a bunch of them. But it's one of the best anointed services that I've been in. It's not just Sunday school. He couldn't even stay on script. He's like, oh, half a page, well, and then here he goes in the Spirit. And he goes off, he's following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And he told us how the Holy Spirit took his life and got him born again. How the Holy Spirit took his life and began to give him revelation as he pursued him, as he got in. That's what he was telling us. That's us. That's all of us. Hallelujah. Praise God. But the most important thing, just like going to church, people says it does not matter where you go to church. There's some churches that ain't got no faith. I'm not downing them. I'm not their judge. I've been in them. Went into a good revival one night, and I thought, and me and my brother up there, Honey, he's pastoring, and we went to a service, and I'd been endeavoring to know what was of the Spirit and not. How many knows we can discern? We can exercise discernment. We know good from evil, right from wrong. We can exercise. And we're in that service, and they said, well, let's go down. And all the preachers were there. There's a bunch of preachers there. The house was packed. They was in revival. Me and Oni had been invited or something. I don't know what. And they had us up front, you know. But anyways, they said, let's go down to the basement and pray before we start the revival. And I thought, yes, that's a good way to start it out. We get down in the basement, and they started praying, oh, God. I mean, out loud. They could hear it, I'm sure. Oh, God, if you can. God, if you can do anything in this revival, Lord, please wrap your loving arms around all of these people. And I just backed away from it. And I said, not if you can. You are going to touch those people. Thank you, Lord. You set this up, God. And in spite of us preachers, God, you're going to pour out your Spirit on these people up there. And you're going to heal and set free and deliver. We get up there in the service and we start out, and they're the preachers are moving around and they're saying stuff and all of that. And Oni walks over to me and he said, something's wrong here. What's wrong? And I said, he's not here. The Holy Spirit is not here. I said, he's not manifesting himself. He said, well, it looks churchy. I said, that's all it is. Looks church. See, what I'm saying to you, forget about that. You want the moving of the Holy Spirit in your marriage. You want the moving of the Holy Spirit in your finances. You want the moving of the Holy Spirit in your health. You want the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life, with your kids, with the anointing. And the only way you're going to have that is if you use Proverbs 3:5. He said, trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Don't lean to our why they doing it. I can't figure it out. I raised them in the Lord. I carried them to, get off of all of that. But my son tried to stray away when he was 18 and he got free. Make his own choices. Which I told him before, Pat, I told him before he got married, I said, listen, you're going to do what people tell you to do. I ain't doing nothing they tell me to do. I said, oh, yeah, you will. Alabama Power says, come pay your power bill. You will go pay it. Or you won't. You will sit in the dark. You are going to do something that somebody tells you to. Woo! It's better if you're walking with the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Then you never get without lights. The Bible says if we follow Jesus, we won't sit in darkness. We won't walk in darkness. Now, that's twofold meaning there. My lights ain't cut off no more. And I'm telling you, the light of the glorious gospel shines in my heart on a continual basis and brings to light the glory of the Lord, which is revealed to me and you from faith to faith and from glory to glory. So, today as we celebrate, Pastor, I'm an under-shepherd. I'm under the Lord. You're all of y'all that are in ministry and coming up, always remember that. I don't come here and pastor in my own strength. I would have run out of sermons 23 and a half years ago. I only had 6 months of sermons left. And I wondered how long could I preach? You know, because I'm like, oh my God, We got Monday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Yeah, some of y'all would croak out if we had Sunday night anymore. Oh, my God, has it come to 4 hours of church a week? Uh-oh, I didn't mean to do that to you. I'm sorry. Well, we got to make a living. Choose who you're going to serve. Choose who you're going to serve. I told Noah, I told Trey, I'm telling y'all. I told Noah, I looked at him, I was under an anointing of the Holy Ghost that morning. I said, you ain't been offended here. I said, but you ain't been here long enough. Did I tell him that or not? Well, some things happened and poof. You're warned ahead of time. Right? God always prepares us for the things that's coming into our future so that we are already prepared. We already have the Word, and we have to do like Monty. And we have to do like Monty said, when you get to it, use it. When you get down there, use it. Hallelujah. The devil tried to take my son. I stood on the Word of God that I'd stood on since he was five, since I found it in the Bible. And you better do it too, y'all parents and grandparents. You stand on the Word of God. And you count him as faithful to perform. Monty brought it out. His Word don't return void. If I put it into action, it goes down into my son's situation and it begins to move and it begins to rearrange and it begins to do and it begins to bring forth, and then all of a sudden he's back in the house of God. I told Satan, I was blowing leaves. See, don't just go around feeling all natural. You are a supernatural being if you are born again. And you get on your kid. I got on my kid's wife when he was 8 years old. Eight. And I told Satan, you are an answer to my prayers. I told Satan when he was 8 years old, praise God, when I realized that I am the spiritual leader of my house, that I have been given authority over my kids and my soon-to-be. I spoke over my grandkids when I never thought I'd have grandkids. But I told Satan, I said, let me tell you something. You're not going to send him a woman without God. You are not going to plant. He tried. He really did try. You're not going to plant somebody in his life that is going to bring destruction to him. Thank you, Lord. And I begin to praise God. I begin to say, God, I thank you. I'm talking about believing God. Yeah. I begin to tell God, thank you, Lord. No weapons formed against me. And I had my mind on his wife all of them years. And I waited all them years up there. Praise God. And I thought, I'm going to have what I've been believing God for 8-9 years. I'm not going to let it go. Monty told us, I'm not there yet, but I'm going, and everything, the little Jezebels and the little bitty hookups and all the friends, and they're all moving. When I walk up out there, I'm this close to getting saved, about so drunk to fall off of the bucket. And I use the scripture that I've preached to the body of Christ for 30 years. While we look not at the thing, we don't focus on what it looks like. We don't focus on what the enemy's telling us. It's not going to change. God's Word's not going to work. It won't work for you. You don't listen to all that stuff. You close yourself into that Bible and you say, glory to God, your Word says no weapons formed again. You get up and you begin to proclaim like Monty was telling us out of your mouth. What thus saith the Word of the Lord. And you know what? I mean, he got there on MySpace. Was it MySpace? It wasn't even a lot of stuff now. And he'd been listening to Will Smith. So he pulled the Will Smith line. All your slick guys. Rawr. Women know I'm not available. I don't look at them with them eyes. I don't look at them staring at them. I keep myself under the Lord. You know, I don't let my mind drift off on junk. And my wife's proved it out too. She don't either. Both of us are really good looking people. Right? We could have an affair anytime we want to. There's a lot of them would like to have a sugar daddy like me. But God, I believe God and I'm up here on top. Take care of me. Come on in there. And like her, you know. She come out the other day and I said, "Woo, you're cute. Oh, you're still cute. You're still cute." Especially if she's a little angry. That's the best time to bust it on her. Bust it on her then. Tell her the truth. See, I thought I can't wait to get to church this morning to see how everybody's dressed, Lord. Rob, like, well, I wore my suit last week. I'm not talking about that. He looked like a preacher. I told him, I said, "You're a preacher, man." He said, "She made me wear that." And I said, "She's a good woman." I said, "Lord, I can't wait to get to church, God, to see the smiles because they're clothed in your joy. They're clothed in your faith, God. They're clothed in your humility, God." I'm talking about this inward. And I thought, you know what? I thought that's what makes my wife more beautiful to me, because she loves Jesus. She's clothed with the love of God in her heart. She loves God. She will not put me before God. I got jealous one time. And I said, "Man, this woman, if I got into it, two or three is going to fight me or whatever, she comes out with a gun. I mean, she just comes out with a gun and she demands them to leave." And I'm like, "Go put the gun up." She said, "Shot the car." And I'm like, she said, "The next one's coming through the window." And I'm like, "Oh my God." That's B.C. Before Christ. A guy pulls up at my house yesterday, just like Monty. Thank you, Monty, for spending time with that woman. Whoever it was, thank you for doing that. You know, because, you know, we ask God. God, use us. We stand and we pray and we ask God, "God, use us. God, anoint the food. God, give us wisdom, God. Let your anointing bite on us, God." And then that happens, and you got to take. But this guy pulled up, Monty, to my house yesterday, and he's been in the family for years, and I've talked to him about the Lord, and he's been rebellious, blah, blah, blah. But he's went the same old all these years. And he's in trouble again, Johnny, and he pulls up in my driveway, and I'm thinking, "Oh, my God, man. Teresa's going to have me at 4:15. I got to be at Walmart. I got to go up there and move all them operators. I got to pick them ladies some turnip greens so I'll be a good pastor." Well, you know what? Then Teresa, she's like, "Well, you know, go in there and wash up, and I'm going to take you somewhere." And I'm like, "I'm in a hurry. Wash up, change clothes." I thought, so we're going out to eat, and then it's going to be really late. And so I'm thinking to myself, all this stuff trying to go through my mind, and I shut it down, and I said, "No, God, I don't have no plans." That's what you have to do. "God, I don't got no plans right now, God. I got time for this gentleman. I got time for this lady. I got time for this young man. I've got time for them, God." That's what sacrifice is. And the sacrifices you make in that manner for the Lord will never outweigh the spiritual. I mean, Monty's fired up today because he did that little act. It started then. That's what he said. He's late. He's short. Man, he's about the shortest one in this church. And I told him, I said, "Monty, I said, I said, you're a blessing. He said, I said, I know it. You're a blessing anyways. You're a late blessing. That's what I told him. I said, you're a late blessing. Hallelujah. How many knows he might not have been? God might have had him running late a few times. Not really. He wants you to be on time. Work and all that. But you know what? It's worked on me the whole time. Do we believe that whatever is in our path, the steps of the righteous are ordained of the Lord, right? They're ordered, we're in them, right? Well, then when late Monday comes, guess what? I got to work out. Not really. I done worked out Monday. It's like Monty said, the things that used to get him can't get him no more, right? Why? Because we take every unfavorable thing that comes into our life and we glorify our God. And then we go from glory. That's how you get to levels of glory. Yeah. Levels of glory. I went up one time and I told him I was leading praise and worship here and pastoring and driving the bus and picking up kids and all that. I'm doing all that, you know. So I went to the praise team leader and I said, man, pray for me. I said, pray that anointing that you have on, I want that anointing down there. And he said, well, it don't come by praying it on you. I was like, man, I ought to shoot him in the foot. I thought he could just zap me. Just pray, release it. Nah, Elisha, it followed Elijah. Right? He wouldn't leave him. He would not go. And he told him, he said, if you see me when I send up, he said, you'll receive it. He told him, he said, you've asked a hard thing. But if you, and Elijah told him, quit. I mean, Satan says, quit going to church. Don't be faithful. Don't fight for Wednesday night. You're good where you're at. Hello? What about when we break out in here and you want to muzzle not the ox that treads out the corn? That means a workman is worthy of his hire. And what if one day God breaks out of this place and breaks into the ministries and we have to have people Monday through Sunday working in the ministry because it's took on a life of its own, you know, and that those are the ones that right now you're fighting for your right to go to church. You're fighting for your right to stand in faith and joy, and you're paving the way to the bigger things that God has for you. Amen. You are actually paving the way through your believing God now. Yeah. I told Noah he works at night. He's a drummer. I mean, I can't drum. That's a gift. Everybody has a gift in the music world, you know, that can play and all of that stuff, you know, that's gifted. What they use it for is a different story. You can use it for the glory of God or you can go use it for the world. You can use it for fame or you can use it to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he works on Wednesday nights. So that's a problem. So I walked in the door this morning and I told him, I said, Noah, I said, I'm going to talk to so-and-so. And he didn't want to, Chris really, he wanted to play the bass, and here comes the drummer, right? There he is. He filled in. How many knows you're working in the helps ministry when you go and do to fill a place, even though you don't feel led and you are a member of this church? You are operating under the same anointing as that old leadership. You are in the helps ministry. You're helping that ministry do what it needs to do. You're helping Jesus do his will. That's how that really biblically is. So I told Noah, I said, I understand you work on Wednesday night and blah, 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 you know. I said, I understand that's out of your control and all of that. I said, but we're going to believe God. See, I'm a man that believes in believing God, and he will turn things around for his will in your life. I believe that. I can't put pressure on Noah other than to tell him we're going to believe God. Right? Because if he believes God and I believe God like I am for all of y'all, well then God will work miracles and he will increase him. He will cause it to turn around, and what is not, it's like that guy yesterday, he's telling me about all the stuff and the fighting and the blah, 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 and court and just about to get straightened out and then something else and blah, blah, blah. Now listen to about 2 hours. See, you got to be long-suffering. He's taking up my Saturday. And so when it got right down to it, I told him, I said, listen to me. I said, my best bet is to turn you on to Jesus. I said, you know what? I said, and I began to tell him about people that have come to this church and they're already sentenced to going to jail. They're going to their last court meeting and blah, blah, blah. And they've given their heart to Jesus and they're coming to church. And I began to tell him, I said, what is not possible with man, my God, my Jesus is able to turn your sorrows into victory. See, some of you try to forgive yourself. You don't have to. You have been forgiven. Right? I can't forgive myself for committing adultery. You committed adultery. Don't be nosy. Stop being nosy. I'm making a point. I can't forgive myself for wishing my daddy was dead because he had co-signed with a car. And he's on me about making the payments that I'm not making. That's before Christ. I can't forgive myself. You don't have to. Whatever is your past is gone. You got to turn loose of it. Don't hold on to it. You have been forgiven. You can't forgive yourself. Jesus forgave you. He forgave you, and the Bible says that once you got born again, that God said, I throwed it in the sea of forgiveness, never to be looked on again. And he don't bring it up to you. That's the enemy. That's the accuser of the brethren to try to stop you from walking in the forgiveness that has been given you through Jesus Christ and walking in the victory that he took on the cross and set before you. Now I'm going to cover this again. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I'm a child of God. Are you a peacemaker? If you want to be called by the Lord a child of God, then you set out to develop to be the peacemaker in your house, the peacemaker in your church. If every one of y'all is a peacemaker, nobody can be offended. There is no way. The enemy comes and you can say, Scotty, your nose is crooked. I'll be like, yeah, God made me that way. Instead of going off and saying, well, what are they saying about me? Tell me my nose is crooked. I already know. I went and had it straightened out somewhat. Did you know my ears are lower than the other ones? I can't wear glasses without going, I mean, they're crooked. I'm like, something wrong. When I first discovered it, Satan showed it to me. I put on them glasses and I thought, something wrong with them glasses, man. And I'm trying to get them to fit, and you know. And then I went in there and I'm like, I can see my ears. You see them? No? Anyways. So for years, Satan, boy, them ears, that nose of yours, that blah, 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 you know, and all of that. And I'd stand in the mirror and I would say, glory to God, you're telling me opposite of what I am. I am made in the image of God Almighty. Now what I'm doing, see, because the inward man is speaking, I'm bringing peace here. We got to be our own peacemakers. Right? You know, when somebody's in turmoil and all, his life was just in shambles, Johnny, this guy that I'm talking about. And I'm listening to him and I'm thinking, oh my God, you're doomed, boy. I've been telling you for 15 years, you know, and I didn't say all of that. And I thought, only God can turn this around. And so I told him, I said, let me tell you something, what you got to, I said, are you ready to receive the Lord Jesus? He said, I've already repented and all of that. I said, praise God then. I said, you've repented and all of that. I said, glory to God. I said, that's good. I said, now my God is able to go in there and show you favor when you go to court. Show you favor. He's able to bring favor into your life, hallelujah. And I told him this, and I full well mean what I'm saying, and you as a Christian better have it in your heart and in your mind and made up, called Scripture, backed it up. I told him, I said, your next move, he said, where do I need to read to find peace? I said, you don't. I said, start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I said, but that's not where peace is. I said, peace is in doing the will of God. Peace is following Jesus. I said, you don't want a one-time right now make you feel better something. I said, you want something in your life that is going to be overflowing from here out no matter what you face. I told him, I said, so I want to put this in your mind and in your heart, and this is the way that it is. You cannot fully serve and follow and walk with God without being planted in a church. Now, you got Christians out there that would beg to differ from me. And all of that, I didn't make my mind up on that. God's Word did. He said, those that are planted in the house of God will flourish in the courts of their God. He didn't say those that give their heart to Jesus. Listen, works comes after we get born again. You don't work your way to salvation. You can't tell God, all of the things in your past. No, you believe on the Lord Jesus. I mean, Monty could have led you to Jesus in Sunday school. If thou will confess believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. But after that, I read in the Scripture one time, and I'm in there, and it says, leaving the elementary doctrine of the cross and go on into perfection. So I told that guy, I said, I don't care what Christians tell. I said, Christians will tell you that more than anybody will. That you don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. I said, they're ex-churchgoers. I said, they used to believe. I said, I'm not trying to get your eyes on them. I said, I'm telling you the way that it is. I said, they will use that. It's doctrines of demons. It is not scripturally based. I said, it is God that sets us in the body as it pleases Him. And I'm telling him, I said, so find you a good Bible-based church. You're going to read that Bible. You are not going to understand none of it. I said, you are a spiritual baby. I said, you are a baby. You're a baby on the inside spiritually. I said, just like a normal kid. I said, born into this earth, you have to feed it and all that. I said, then you have to hold its hand and help it learn how to walk. And then you have to teach it how to eat itself and all of that. I said, that's what the church is going to do for you. See, this world and even the church world can get contrary to God's Word, Monty, but we are going to believe God's Word and we're going to stand on it and we're going to be the men that leads this church in our homes. Amen. And tell people when we lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth, not our opinion, not our experiences, but our knowledge of God. And as you walk with God, you will see Him turn miracles. Listen to me. God told me business-wise. He put me in business in 1994. I know it. I've been 33 years. All the trials that have come and the physical and the no help and the, I had to rely on God, Johnny. I would go by myself and I would go do and I would be like, listen, Richard, going to work is the will of God. We want to do the will of God. I told Travis the other day, I said, I'm reading the New Testament in there, and it says, work with your own hands that you have to give to them who need. And I thought, that's crazy. They can get out here and get them a 40-hour week job. Me work so I can give to them in need? That's crazy. I'm 6 months old in the Lord. And I'm just reading the Bible a lot, my church is telling me. And then all of a sudden, something's telling me this stuff. And I'm like, no, they can get their own job. See, it wasn't God telling me, go work and give all your money away. What God was telling me, son, I'm going to increase you in your life till you can't even imagine. But I need your heart not after the money, not after the hours, not after that, but after me. And then it wasn't long I was challenged on Wednesday night coming to church. I'm not telling you this to bring you under conviction. If you know Jesus Christ, then you pray about everything. In the things that you have the power to do something about, that you know the will of God, whatever it costs you, do it. And then the things that you can't change that is in the way of doing the will of God, then you do like Monty said, and you begin to speak to that mountain. You speak to it and you tell it, glory to God, you're going to move out of the way of the will of God. God has authorized me to do His will and anointed me to do His will, and I will do His will. And you tell Satan, no weapons formed against me will prosper. You may bring them to me, but they will not prosper. And I'm telling you, 33-year Christian, I'm telling you, when I stand and I declare the word of the Lord over the will of God that I know to be the will of God, I'm telling you, His word does not return void. Amen. This company, I wanted this company for years. It's Morton Buildings down there in Hansville. I wanted it for years. Ask God for it back under, boy, because I'm like, we're going to be blessed going in, blessed going out. I still have that, Nita. I still do it over my business. Right? I tell God, God, I'm not setting a date to retire, God, because you know. I'm waiting on you. I want to know what you're saying. Now at times my body, I want to quit. I want to lay around every tree and just go do what I want to. Drive down the side of the road and half the ditch or whatever I want to do and just say everybody's working but me. Woo, yeah, I know how it feels now. Feels good, God, but I got plenty to do it with. You know, but I wanted it. And finally, after years went by, got a call. And boy, they wanted blah, blah, blah. And I give him pride. You're too high. And I said, go somewhere else. Well, if you're fearless, right? You're not greedy, right? You've developed not being greedy. You've developed not hijacking people. You've developed faith in God. You've developed it where no fear. You've developed loving one another out here in the food line and in here, and I'm on your nerves and I get on your nerves, and I walked up here, Aubrey's sitting here. And I walked up to her and I said, how long am I going to have to wait for you to learn that keyboard?
Well, Papa, I got to have this, and I got to have the stickers. I'm not, blah, 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 me.
I said, excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. Johnny, I'm putting it in her, 10 years old. I walked up to her just about 2 weeks ago. I said, how long am I going to have to wait? Well, she can blame Daddy. She can blame Mama. She can blame this and that. But you know what? When she wants to play a game or do something, wants me to go cruising, oh, it's walk up with boldness. And I'm like, well, you got to do this and this. And if she's lickety split to get it done, let's go cruising, Pawpaw, on the gator. Why? She's doing whatever she needs to do to go do what she wants to do. Right? And that compels Pawpaw, no matter what I'm doing, I don't care what I got, we cruising today. That's how God is. When we show our faith to Him and we show because we're going through, pray God, He shows up with the glory, the grace, and the... There is nothing impossible to me and you when it's concerning God's will for our life, Johnny. Don't ever let the church teach you that. Now, it says, blessed. I walked up, and Teresa, we went up, and, and she says, they're running a little late. This is yesterday. They're running a little late because she orders at Walmart on Friday.
See anything you want?
I mean, that's all I can think of right now. Well, you've got hours if you think of something different. Well, she orders it, pull up, they text you. You text them. They bring your food out, you know, and all of that. And I'm like, this is crazy. But anyways, I'd rather walk around in there because I might see something I want, you know. Other than that, I mean, you got to know what you want on there. Because I might want a pack of cookies and I forget them while I'm on the phone, you know. And so I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm feeling anxious. Because I'm like, man, they should have done been here. I got to pick them turnip greens for them. And, you know, and I got to move all that stuff because it's going to rain. And it ain't about $5,000 to get wet and fry everything when you plug it up. Not much, you know, it's not really important. Yes, it is. It's garage door stuff. Well, anyway, she said, I don't know why it never happens like this. They're always right on time. And then I thought, man, we got to go eat after this, man, not through the drive-thru and all of that, man. And so when she's sitting there saying that, I just said, I will not be anxious for nothing. In other words, I'm sitting there and I'm like, Walmart's not going to move me. You know, turnip greens is not going to move me. Ain't nothing that I've got. Those garage door stuff, which is real important, it's not going to move me. It's not going to get me. My wife can't get me. Satan can't get me to feeling bad. I have to listen to him. You have to listen to him. Well, you don't know what kind of problems we got. I don't have to. He does. Now you got to bring peace into your life. You are the peacemaker of your own house, yours. And then but if you don't develop it, then you can't bring peace to those that don't have it. You got to develop it. Monty said it. He said you can't give out what you don't have. Well, now, Peter went to, and I wondered a lot of times, and the Lord ain't really showed me nothing, but I imagine it's because Peter had a hard time forgiving. So he goes to Jesus in the Beatitudes. That's in that Mark 9. It's in the Matthew 9. It's the Beatitudes too. So he goes to Jesus and he said, Lord, he said, Master, he said, how many times a day do I have to forgive? And he says, 7. And Jesus spoke to him and he said, I'll tell you 70 times, 490 times a day. Jesus, to me, that was saying, Scotty, it's endless. You've got no reason not to. You've got 400, you got to forgive. He made it to Peter where it's impossible. You're not going to get offended 490 times a day, more than likely. Now, I'm telling you, I've been speaking that for about 3 weeks over this house. I do care. I don't mean it that way. It does not matter who did it to you, how they did it to you, justifiable or unjustifiable. It does really not matter. Satan wants you caught up on the matter so that he steals that peacemaker from you, so that he steals that faith that will move mountains, so that he steals the Word of God out of your heart. So that the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Guard it. Guard the Word. So he does this. He wants you on the why. Why you deserved it. Why you didn't. They shouldn't have. All of that you have got to put in the garbage bucket. You got to put it in the garbage bucket and say, it does not matter how many times they did it or how they did it or what they did to me, Lord. I choose to forgive. People have told me, well, you don't know how hard that is. Oh, I do. Every one of us will have opportunities, have had, will have, and you know, we got to pass this down to our kids. We're helping our little 9-year-old Aubrey right now because somebody said something she didn't like about her in school. But it's real to her. Right? It's real. It's Satan already trying to get her to be the brokenhearted, the victim of circumstances and all of that. So Teresa gave her a little, she's writing a letter, Johnny. She's taking the letter to him and telling him, you must apologize. I want you to apologize. That was not right. I want you to apologize. So she tells Grandma about it. And so Grandma's taking them to school. And Grandma gets them in a right spirit before they get to school. And because, you know, they wake up, their kids. And so she tells Grandma about it. And Grandma tells her, well, you can do that. She said, don't ask them to forgive, blah, blah, blah. No, they are. She said, she told her, forgive. You got to forgive. And so Teresa tells her, well, you know, you can demand the letter. You can demand all of that, but they don't have to forgive you. You can ask people to forgive you, and they don't have to forgive you. But you done your part. Right? If anybody has a... Now, I have had probably 10,000 reasons to get offended in this church in 24 years. There's been that many people through these doors, in and out. I've had probably a lot in that. But when I go and I look at 490 times, I only got one chance on Sunday. It ain't 10,000 times a day. One chance on Sunday night. That's some of y'all that wasn't here, so you don't think I'm talking about you. Right? Most of you ain't never been here on a Sunday night. And one time on Wednesday. Then at one time I had Richard. He's trying to help everybody and he ain't got nothing. And I would tell him, he'd be like, he didn't like what I would tell him. Every time he'd bring up all this, and it'd be this, and I'd say, all is well. I'll still do it, don't I, Richard? All is well. He said something other day, and I said, all is well. That's a doctrine I come up with. All is well. Well, don't the Bible say in Romans 8:28, for Richard, that God works all things together for the good for Richard, right? Don't it say it? It still says it after all these years, Richard. So all I can say, if he trusts God, all is well. All is well. I don't think he's ever been mad at me, but if you have, forget it and don't tell me about it. That way I don't have a battle. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you got to forgive. Now, man, time done gone, ain't it? John 10:10. It says, that Jesus come, that you might have life and have it more abundant. I looked up the word abundant because Paul told Timothy, he said, study the word. But, you know, study the word of God. Study. Joshua 1:8, God told him, he said, meditate on my word day and night. Think about my word. Ponder on my, I ain't got time to think about all my problems if I'm thinking about the word and what God says. Well, you know, abundant. It means to the full, till it overflows. More than enough faith. More than enough joy. More than enough peace. More than enough finances. More than enough friends. Told Teresa one time, I said, you know, she said, I ain't got no friends. I said, you're not friendly.
What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying?
I said, what the Bible says. It says, if you want friends, to show yourself friendly. If you don't want no friends, be a sourpuss. It don't say that. I put that in there. If you don't want friends, just be negative. Just don't believe God. Just let whatever happens, happens. Just complain. Walked in, got some breakfast Saturday morning, and I walked up there to that and I paid her. And I said, hey, you know what? What's that, Scotty? I said, you know, them complainers, God brought them out of Egypt, taking them over there to their healing, their houses, their wells, their vineyards, and all of that. I said, they didn't make it. I said, because they griped about everything every day. I said, they did. She said, oh, God, no, we got to keep our mind on the Lord, hadn't we? I said, yes, because we got our healing. I said, if it ain't here, we're going toward it. But God, we're not going to complain because it ain't here. We're not going to complain about the doctors. We're not going to complain about the pills ain't working. We gonna believe God, hallelujah. Got me one of them CPAPs. Teresa talked me into it. We're wanting snoring. That sucker trying to kill me. I'm like, dude, that thing stretched around, got your nose stuck up, man. You're trying to go to sleep, and you're like, how do you go to sleep with this stupid thing on? And then the next night, I say, well, I'll get a different one, so I put another one on. And I wake up every morning, and I feel worse than I did before I got the CPAP, and I'm like, this is crazy. This is killing me is what it is, God. And then I thought, well, the third night, I'll do this. So I laid in there last night, and I tried to go to sleep with that thing, you know, and now it's blowing air up in my eye. And I'm like, man. Covered my head up because I thought it was the fan, but it was the CPAP leaking. And so still the air is going, so I thought, well, it's cold air. So I went over and plugged a little thing in. They said, if you want the air warmer, have you ever tried to suck in 90 to 100 degree air and sleep good? It heated the tube up. And I'm like, I can't feel air going in. And then I went, yeah, it's working. And then they want you to fill it up with water. And I'm like, she said, leave the humidity down here. And I thought, man, my lungs are going to be wet all night. And so anyhow, I went, poof, turned it off. Teresa, she got up this morning. She said, how did you sleep? I said, I feel better than I have before I got the CPAP machine. I'm alive. I said, I'm energetic. I don't feel sleepy. You didn't wear it? I said, no, it's killing me. I said, maybe I got too much energy. The snoring, I don't know I'm snoring. Well, the doctor said, you woke up 33 minutes an hour. He said, it's like getting a phone call 33 times an hour and then going back to sleep. And I said, that's terrible. I didn't know it, Monty. And so I told the Lord, last night before I put that, I won't call it stupid. I'm just a little leery of it. I told the Lord, I said, God, you give your beloved sweet sleep. I said, there can't nothing disturb your anointing on me. There can't nothing. Now I'm speaking to it, Monty. I'm speaking to that mountain because that word's in here, but it can't do me no good, that wrench up there, if I don't use it. If I don't put it, because I don't see instant results sometimes, Monty, we don't get our wrench and use it. See, we gotta look past to where we're going. And so I speak long, satisfied lives to all of you. In the name of Jesus, long. Satisfied, not long, sick, weak, long, satisfied according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, wherever you're at, when things get impossible, praise God, that's your opportunity. They come one time and the lot bill was $900. Now I've seen somebody leave here and start a church, not led by the Lord and blah, blah, blah. I ain't getting into all of that. They went over and got their first light bill, $350. And glory to God, they shut down. $350 shut down the whole church. Then they went and got a tent. And I went down there. The Lord told me, He said, I want you to go. They left this church out of a right spirit. And God spoke, in a wrong spirit. And God spoke to me. He said, I want you to go give them that truck. And I said, Lord, I said, that's terrible. I said, that's terrible, Lord. Give them the truck. You know, He said, I want you to show them what true forgiveness is. He said, I want you to walk it out. So I understand hurt, but I also understand freedom. And I go down there, praise God, took the title and the keys to that church, and it was in the wintertime, and they had a blower over here, the heater blower, over on the ministers, and us congregation was freezing. And I told the Lord, I said, they got this backwards, Lord. I said, they got this backwards, don't they, Lord? They need to be sitting over freezing, and letting the congregation be warm. Right? And he said, yes. He said, that's right. He said, you put yourself out for my sheep. And I said, I do. I freeze for them. I come in here one time, I could keep on, but we got to go eat, and they're all waiting. We're eating right now food that is better than that turnip green soup that Teresa cooked. But anyways, I better stop. I could go on. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to believe God. When it's impossible, that's when you need to do it the most. When it looks impossible, when it feels impossible, when you feel defeated, when it looks defeated, that is when you become strong, because you look and you trust Him and He brings you out and brings breakthroughs. That is when you become strong. That's why Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong, Noah. He said, then am I made strong. Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I made strong. Why? Because he was relying on the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. Thank you, Father God, for your